you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you trust that coming to church is going to help you. You trust because the Word of God tells us where to come to church, you do so. And those are important things. But as we trust God, we need to also trust Him, as we trust Him in every area, is to realize that He has a plan. And His plan's a whole lot easier than ours is. And these three verses, they always remind me. I know a lot of times, and I know we all face adversity. We all face the struggle. We all face tragic, and it's not easy. And I understand that. Humanly speaking, it's devastating at times. But I also know that if we have the Lord with us, it's a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. And you can see that when you look out amongst your friends who are lost and they go through situations. You can see there's a difference. There ought to be a difference. Because they are without hope. But you and I have the hope. That hope comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look, we're looking at three verses, 28, 29, 30. Again, you could probably quote these, but I just thought this would be good to come back and remind us of this, remind myself of this, because sometimes I get discouraged too. You know, you're sitting there and you're doing PTs for 2 months, and you think, oh, I ought to be running now. And you're still just stepping out of the car and hobbling and trying to get through. But I know there's a difference, but it just doesn't seem like it's fast enough. It took me a year to get in this shape. It's going to probably take me a year to get out of it. And you have to understand those things. And so you have to trust the Lord that He's going to help you through those and not get in a situation where you get discouraged about things. But anyway, as we look at these three verses, I want us to look at some imperatives or commands that the Lord gives us. And we need to take these to heart. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for these verses tonight, and I need these, and need to be reminded of these often, that having you as my Savior is more than just a ticket to heaven, but it's a transforming life experience. That I always have someone to lean on. Often you come alongside and you pull us, you lead us and guide us, but there are times that you also pick us up and you carry us. Father, help us to be mindful of that and realizing that you are a great God and you love us so much so that you give us the power to live the life you've called us to live. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So come is always an invitation. And this is an invitation for Jesus Christ from God Himself. And it's an invitation to all those that have problems. Now, this isn't talking necessarily about lost people, although it is, but it's also talking about Christians. Because I look at this and I see Christians are the ones who need this, because we get saved and so often we leave it there. And we don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize we're yoked up with Him. We've got an advocate. We got someone who's going to pick us up. I remember the first service I came here, and my knees were in pretty bad shape back then. And I remember Pastor Poole was preaching, and that was the day I was, I guess, instituted or whatever into the service or commissioned or whatever. And he asked me to get on my knees, and I thought, this is going to be a bad thing. So I got on my knees on the up there on the platform, and all of a sudden I'm stuck. And I don't remember who it was, but two folks came alongside and pulled me up. And I was thinking, well, that really helped. I needed some help that day. And, you know, that's what Jesus is all the time. He's right there to help us all the time. In any situation. And that's what he wants us to understand. So he gives us this invitation. It's an invitation for all those, obviously, that have sin, but it's an invitation to the Christian as well. It's a message of peace. It's a message that that there's a better life, and that life is not just on the other side in heaven, because you actually experience the other side the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus. You see, one day you're lost on your way to hell. And the next day, when you accept Christ your Savior, you're a Christian, you're a saint, you're on your way to heaven. And the rest of this life is all part of that. It's all part of the journey. And so we can have that. The Pharisees, they gave us a message that was a message of, if you have hope, then go do this, 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 and this. Jesus didn't say that. He said, put your faith and trust in me. He said, and I will give you rest. I'll give you the strength. And so it's important for us to get a hold of that and bite into it and just keep it before us all the time. That message of come unto me. And of course, when we come unto him, it's all about our heart. We have to have a heart that's in a right position. And that is humble. To come unto Jesus is to realize that you can't do it yourself. I can't do it myself. We have to trust that God's plan is perfect and that God's plan will work. I know people that time after time again, they hear a message, and I don't know if they're saved or not, but they hear a message of salvation, and they go to themselves, I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I'm saved. Am I going to heaven? You know, God cannot use a vessel that always does or always questions their salvation. Why? Because they never learn how to trust. And if you can't trust, you can't be obedient, right? So it's all that together. And so you have to come to him trusting what he's done, believing it with your whole heart. And that's the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian. It's not the prayer, but it's believing what the Bible says. In fact, I don't believe you actually have to say the prayer in on a pew with somebody else. You can say it in your heart to God. You can be out in the middle of the woods, maybe reading the scripture, realize you're lost on your way to hell, and right then and there, admit to God that he's right, you're wrong, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus Christ to save you. And he will save you. And you're probably going to, if you get saved, you're probably going to want to tell somebody. That goes along with Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart, the God that raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But it's a matter of the heart. And it all comes down to knowing we have a problem and we can't do it on our own. And Jesus always, or many times in the Bible, says, come. And John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh not, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. So it's the coming that's the important thing. It's not the works. It's not the doing. It's not the, I've got to do this, this, this. But it's just trusting what Jesus says. And of course, there are verses that teach us that. Titus 3:5 and Ephesians 2:8-9. I'm not going to quote those, but you know those verses. And they teach that it's not about works. So it's an invitation. And in this particular case, it's an invitation. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's everybody. There's not a person on this earth that has not experienced this through some trial, tragedy, or something going on in their life. Tonight, Kelly is in this situation. She's got something going on. She's heavy laden down or heavy burdened with this situation. And the only way she's going to find help, true help, is, I believe, through the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan. And God will set things in motion and he will do things for us that people don't even understand. And so here, this is, in a sense, we sometimes think it's a metaphor, but I believe it's the truth when it talks about labor and heavy laden. I tell you, when I got saved, I was heavy laden with my sin. And it bothered me. And when he preached that night and he said, all liars be cast in the lake of fire, that bothered me. And I said to myself, I don't want to go to hell. But Bruce, the devil, whispered in my ear, you served as a deacon, a WANA teacher, a bus captain. You're faithful to church. You don't miss services. You read your Bible. You pray. Bruce, it's okay. My heart said, no, it's not okay. And that night, I experienced something for the first time that was real. When I confessed my sin before God, I didn't have to do it before man, but before God, instantaneously, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to reside in my life forever. And that changed me. And it was something that was magnificent. I couldn't even explain it. It was so such a miracle thing. You know, you're thinking about it and trying to say, well, how do I put this into words? And the best way I can say is, well, it's not really a feeling, but I can tell you, it just, all of a sudden, the burden of sin was lifted off my shoulder and I felt like I was on cloud nine. I knew there was a difference. And from that point on, and I'm not doing this to be proud or bold or anything, I've never, ever been concerned about going to hell or losing my salvation. And the reason is, well, I was older and I'd heard the gospel many times. But at that point, and I believed it without putting my faith and trust in Jesus, when I received the Spirit of God, there was no doubt in my mind. Nothing could take that away from me. And so I knew that there was a difference. And every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, there is a difference. You know, a lot of kids struggle with that commitment. In fact, I heard Honora, or Nora's testimony again this week, and she said 3 years old she got saved, and I think about 12 or something, somewhere in there, she recommitted or rededicated. And what she was saying was she was told, the only way she knew she was saved is that her parents told her, and she had it written down in her Bible somewhere. But she didn't know. And I suggest to you, if a child doesn't know they're saved, they're not saved. Because if they look to the Bible to tell them, I'm talking about someone writing in their Bible, or they're looking to their parents to tell them what happened, they have no realization that it ever occurred. Even though they could have been genuine at the time, they don't really know about it. Maybe they didn't understand it all for whatever reason. And so we need to be careful with that. That everybody who's saved prior to having the ability to know, and maybe at 3 years old or four, maybe there's some children that don't have the ability to know. Not everybody knows everything at the same time. You know, just like some kids, it takes them longer to walk and talk than others. Just everybody's ability is different. There are people today that are adults that have not the ability to know about salvation. And I can think of some, you know, Down syndrome folks that just could never, you could talk to them and they would say whatever you said, but for them to know, we don't know if they know or not. But I think God does. And that situation is different. For those that can't reach the age of accountability, I believe God takes them to heaven when they die. But anyway, that's another subject. But the point is that Jesus tells us to come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And then in that next part, he says, and I will give you rest. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. As many times I'll look at this passage for funeral or situations like that. But this is one of those passages that it just amazes me. I love to go back to it often because it just reminds me that when you're with Jesus, you're never alone. And not only that, but God gives you experiences that are going to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's why you go through the difficulties you go through. That's why you go through some situations that you think, why me? Because God knows you're able and capable to handle it. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31 on your own time, check or 13, and check that out. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, let's go to verse 3. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You see what it said? All comfort. Not some comfort. Not a little bit of comfort, but all comfort. He says, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Not some, not the ones I pick and choose, but all of them, he says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. God. So what he's saying is, these trials that you're going through, they're there for a benefit. First, for you, to have you to have understanding who God is, to rely on God, to trust God, but also that you might be able to share with others. It's funny, you know you more than anybody else, or better than anybody else other than God. God knows you better than yourself, believe it or not. But you know yourself better than anybody else. And so, who else better to testify of your life? Now, your wife could probably write some things, or your husband, and you might not want to remember those things, but once they're brought up, you do. But still, you know those things. You just sometimes don't want to hear them or deny them. But the fact is, you know about yourself. And so, when God works in your life, and he's doing something there, he's doing it for a purpose, so you can turn around and give that sincere message to somebody else. That message of hope. That message of comfort. That message of strength. Yes, I come alongside and I know that you're hurting and I'm here to listen. And if you want me to say something, fine. But if not, I'm shutting up. I'm going to listen to you. And then at some point, you'll have that opportunity to share with them why, when you went through that experience, you were comforted. And God gave you the strength. And it will help them. It'll encourage them. And so, it's important. He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. Every one of us have experienced that. Every one of us have been in that position where we've been in a situation that has been difficult. And sometimes we even get to the point because we forget about who God is and we take our eyes off him. We might even ask the question, why, God? I think a person who's not close to God is going to ask that question. But a Christian who's becoming mature and a Christian who's walking close to God knows why. Because it's His will. His perfect will for me to go through this. Everything that you go through as a Christian is God's perfect will when you're following Him. Now, if you're not following Him, then maybe you need to ask why so He can tell you, because you ain't listening to me, folks. And that's a different situation. But when we're walking close to God, we don't have to ask the whys, because we know. Now, that doesn't mean it makes it easier that you don't hurt at all, because you're still going to hurt. I still struggle a little bit when I think of Peter. And you say, why do you struggle so hard with Peter? Well, Peter was one of those that I didn't expect. The ones that I expect, they're not as hard. Even though you still miss them, but it's not quite as hard. I mean, I was thinking, in my mind, Peter's going to be around here for another 10 years. He's going to be somebody to go to and to talk to and, you know, just be here. And it just surprised me. And every time I see his picture or think about him, I'm reminded. And it bothers me. But you know what? God knows. And that's what God says. Bruce, Peter is in a better place. And you can't wait to see him, right? You're right. And I'm going to see him one day. But Jesus tells us that he's there for us. He says, I will give you rest. I will take care of you. I will help you through this. And it's amazing how he does it. And when we experience that, and we experience that rest in our life, then we know that it's not because we're good, or we can just, it doesn't bother us, we can just slough it off or whatever. But it's because God is working in our lives. He's there to help us. He's there to strengthen us. And that's what he does. He does it all the time. And then he tells us in verse 29, he comes up with that second imperative, the first one being come. He says, take. Take. And I think about that, and when he's talking about taking, he's saying, you come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take. And what I think he's talking about is, believe on me. Put your faith and trust in me. Because he says, take my yoke. And we all know the illustration of the yoke, and when two cattle are yoked up, and they want to make sure that those cattle are compatible, because generally, you don't yoke up a donkey and a horse, and you don't yoke up an oxen and maybe a cow or something. You don't generally do that. You yoke up two types of animals, same type. Excuse me, not two types, same type. And you want them to at least be willing to listen. If one is dominant, it could be hard. He could be dragging the other one off somewhere other than you want him to go. And that's kind of what happens a lot of times, we as Christians, when we take, or we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we yoke up with Him, we start pulling on that yoke. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of sores on my neck. Got any sores on your neck? Where you've been pulling from Jesus in that yoke, trying to get Him to go your way, wanting to make decisions, your decisions, and telling God, you know best, and I can do this better than you can, and I'm looking at this from my perspective, and you really don't understand. Come with me, come with me. And He says, don't do that. When you yoke up with Jesus, let Him be the dominant leader of the yoking up. In other words, follow Him. And everywhere He leads you will be in the right place. It'll be the right place. So He talks about taking this yoke. And so we take that yoke and we identify with Christ, and we know that through that we become Christians. And it's choosing not only to become Christians. And when we say Christians, we talk about, well, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you become Christian. Well, that's a true statement. But when you really analyze it a little bit deeper, Christian means Christ-like. And that's what the whole purpose of yoking up with Jesus is to change us from what we are, sinners, lost, on our way to hell, to a saint. To someone who's holy. And that holiness, yes, it's going to come about at an instantaneous time when we meet Jesus Christ, but as He continues to allow us to live on this earth, He wants to make us holy today. And so as we're yoked up with Him and following Him, that's exactly what happens. As you and I strive to stay with Him and to walk in the footsteps, or walk side to Him, however we want to look at it, with the yoke, We want to be exactly what He wants us to be. And that's going to make a difference in our lives, in every area. It's putting Him first. It's not putting us first. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. Because there are some things that are okay in this world, but are not best for us. There are things that Jesus wouldn't be seen doing that aren't necessarily sin that we would. And sometimes we need to question that a little bit and say, is this expedient? Is this good? You know, Paul said, not all things are, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Meaning that there's some things that even though they're lawful, you shouldn't do them. Marijuana, for instance, is lawful now. You shouldn't do it. Drinking alcohol is lawful. You shouldn't do it. Why? Because it doesn't exemplify God and Christ. And if you're not careful, it'll put you in a place you don't want to be. That's the world's method of solving their problems. Those who have no hope need that stuff. We understand that. They need some kind of substance to get them through this life. Sleeping pills. How many people take sleeping pills? I hope none of you have to. Even if I have to, I'm not going to, probably. I don't want to do that. But we want to have God in our life and have Him get the glory, and we want to follow Him. We want to understand that as we take that yoke, that we're not the same person anymore. You know, you are like your friends. Everybody here has experienced peer pressure, have you not? You've been, and especially when you were younger, high school or something like that. You had friends that did things, and maybe you didn't do them initially, or maybe you were the leader, I don't know. But you didn't do them initially, but there was pressure put on you, and so you did it. We've all experienced that to some degree, have we not? And really, what we do is we allow that person or those people to influence us. They're the ones who make us what we are. Now, we allow it to happen, but that's because we follow them. The same thing occurs when you follow Jesus. There's sometimes some pressure there. Because we're still in the world. And I think of it sometimes as you've seen the Marines and they have to go to the mud pit and carry those logs in the mud pit and you know how hard it is to lift your legs up. Sometimes I think of we as Christians sometimes are in the mud pit, you know, the world and trying to move forward and that mud just grabs our feet and you hear that sucking sound when you're able to get your foot free or you lose your boot or whatever happens and you're still struggling and trying to get out of it. But sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we get stuck there. And we let the world influence our lives. But if we're yoked up with Jesus, going through the mud pit is not so hard. Because when I can't lift my left leg or my right leg, Jesus can. And He'll pull me out of that pit. He'll get me out of there. As long as I'm willing to trust Him and to follow Him. It's a commitment. It's a commitment that we make. And so we want to take that yoke upon us. And then he says here, look at verse 29, he says, and learn of me. How do you learn of Jesus? How do you learn of Jesus? Reading your Bible? Yeah, absolutely. And how do you experience what you learn? Live it and believe it, or believe it and live it. Either way, just do it, yeah. It's by practicing what it says, acting upon what it says. And doing that's going to make the difference. That's where we're going to see that we're going to learn what Jesus has come to do, how He lived on this earth, and the things that He thought were important. And we're going to experience that, and we're going to become more like Him when we learn of Him. And He said one thing here, and I want to put the emphasis on this for just a few minutes. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. What he's saying is, I understand what humility is. This is my problem. And I dare say most of our problems in this room is not only understanding what humility is, but putting it into practice. Humbling ourselves. And that's not just before God, but it's before each other. Humility is what makes a difference in a Christian's life. Makes a difference of the things we experience and the things we go through and the influence we have. And we have to have humility to be obedient. Because that's what obedience humility leads to, is obedience. When you and I are humble, We're going to trust God and be obedient to him. Without humility, we will not. So Jesus says, accept me as your Savior and then become humble and learn of me and follow me. And then again, he says and makes a statement, and you shall find rest in your souls. Isn't this what we're looking for? In all three of these verses, in a sense, that's what he's saying. He says, you're going to find rest. In the first verse, he says, and I will give you rest. In the second verse, he says, and you shall find rest on your souls. In the third verse, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Meaning that it's not going to be that hard that you think it is. I know I've said it myself, and I know you've said it, and I believe it at times, and I have to be reminded again, and I am with these verses, is that, boy, the Christian life is hard sometimes. But when I get to that point, I need to stop and think, why is it so hard? That's right. I'm making it hard. He's not making it hard. He says it's going to be easy. But I'm making it hard. Why? Because I'm pulling on that yoke. I'm trying to go my direction. I'm trying to figure out things my way and put those things into place. And it never works right. And it always brings me back to the same place. Dear God, please forgive me. I've not done right. I've tried to do this and on my own. I didn't ask you about it. Didn't check with you or anything. And so often we do that. We think the minor details and forget them. Let me, real quick, and I'm going to be done. I'll give you a testimony because I just heard it again. But Mike was talking about putting the Lord first in your life. He said he was going south somewhere. I'm not sure where it was. Anyway, he's about 40 minutes from the hotel he's supposed to stay at. And they're driving, and all of a sudden, they ran over a piece of metal, and it just shredded one of their tires. So he's on the rim. And he's in his van. And he said someone was following him or something, and I don't know what happened, whether it's a tire or the metal. It hit that car and caused the fire in that car, and on down the road, he didn't know about this till later, but on down the road, that car was pulled over, and there was a fire in that car because it hit whatever he left behind or whatever hit him or whatever. But anyway, he said he got out of the car and he went back to get his jack. And those vans, a lot of them like trucks, they have those jobs where you take and you crank them down. You know, it's got that box there, the gearbox. You crank it down, comes out on a chain or whatever, or a cable. And then you get your tire off and you put it on or whatever. Anyway, he went back there and he couldn't get it down to save his neck. He's rusted. It just wasn't coming down. And about then, a state trooper pulled up, and he said, the state trooper, can I help you? And he said, well, this is my situation. The state trooper, he couldn't do anything. But he said, well, I can at least keep the traffic away from you. So he pulled off into that left or right lane. The state trooper did, had his lights on, so everybody would go into the other lane, so the big trucks on the interstate wouldn't be passing right by his car while he's trying to work on it. So he said he was a big help. But he was sitting there, and his wife came out there, and she was trying to help him or talk to him. Go get in the car. Go get in the car. I'll take care of this. And he just struggled with it and struggled with it. And he realized that what he forgot to do was to consult God about it. And that makes a difference in the world, is consulting God about things. You know it. You've experienced. John gave a testimony years ago, probably 10 years ago, 11 years ago, maybe 12. I don't know. A long time ago. He said, yeah, I lost a key in the woods, and I was looking for that thing everywhere. And he said, and then I prayed. And it wasn't but a few minutes after that you found that key. Do you remember that testimony? You gave that years ago. That sticks in my mind all the time when I think about putting God first and asking him to help us. Because that's the way it happens all the time. Dan was working on something in his trailer the other day. It was a light bulb, and anyway, he got it out and everything, and the kids were messing with it and knocked it into the hole. And so his wire and all that stuff was in the hole. I said, well, how far down is it? Well, it's pretty far down. And he thought he could get through it to the side. He couldn't. And it was under the toilet type of thing and stuff. And anyway, so he's sitting there, and I said, well, get a wire and make a hook. Maybe you can pull it out. And he went to do that, and I started praying. I said, Lord, help Dan get this thing out. I mean, I know how it is, frustrating not be able to do something. You're trying to work on something, you lose it, and you don't have any ideas how to get things out. And so he went over there in about 2 seconds, well, maybe three, four. He fished around, he pulled it right out. Now, I don't know. I can sit here and everybody can sit here and say, well, it would have happened anyway. I don't know that. But I do know that God answers prayer. And so regardless of you or anybody else thinking that could have happened anyway, which maybe it would have. I know lost people can do those things, but also believe God knows about it and he can get to that point quicker and help us when we are in those situations. And so that's all he's saying here. When he talks about this learning of him and humbling yourself to him, he says, if you'll do that, then I'll provide the means necessary. I'll provide the direction. I'll provide the help that you need. And it won't be hard. It won't. Yes, he said, my burden is light. Now, you and I can sit here, humanly speaking, and say, there are times our burden's not light. But, and I can tell you today, that I've went through some things that I thought were pretty big things. But I can also tell you, if I experienced those without the Lord Jesus Christ, those would be really big things. And I have seen God work over and over and over again. And he does it. He does it in your lives. I've heard the testimonies. And so that's the point, is that we continue to look to Jesus in all our situations. Take that yoke. You've already done that. You put your faith and trust in Jesus. Now keep it on. Don't try to get away from it, because he's going to lead you and guide you and give you the rest you need to get through this life. He's going to help your burden to be light. He's going to take your situations and make them a whole lot easier than they could ever be. And I'm not saying there's not going to be some heartache. The Bible teaches us to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We're going to weep. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But God knows, and he's going to dry those tears. He's going to be there to comfort you and to comfort me. Keep our focus on Jesus. It'll make the difference. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. I'm reminded that so often we try to do things on our own. Sometimes we think they're little things and we don't need to consult God about those things. But we're forgetting that as a Christian, you already know, whether small or big, about the situation. So we need to think about that and rethink about it, and maybe just need to come to you more often. And quit trusting ourselves. I know that we do that. I do it myself. And I just pray you would help me to look to you and understand that you know best in every situation, big or small. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen.